Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Us Weekly's Hot Hollywood Podcast, where your moderator, Jennifer Perls, has no voice, and all of my coworkers right now are looking at me hysterically laughing because words will not come out of my mouth.
Oh, my God. Behind a hazmat mask.
Yes, it is flu season here in New York, but I swear I'm fine.
Party
I'm not contagious.
Blood.
I'm not contagious.
We will all be sick next episode.
Those are famous last words. I'm not contagious.
As you should be, because you guys are literally looking here laughing at me. I can't even get the word Pete Davidson and Kate Beckinsale out of my mouth.
Brody's heard the words, I'm not contagious.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
My true life story.
Yeah. My true life. I'm working with a flu patient. Mr. Travis Cronin, he's back with us from a two-week-long vacation to the Caribbean, and you are literally orange.
Thank you. I just purchased it yesterday. It's Isle of Paradise medium to dark skin tones, tanning drops with a little bit of spray contouring on
top
of it.
Wait, so you literally sat in the beach in Puerto Vallarta for 2 weeks, and you came home spray tanned and then came to work?
Yes.
Did you get a real tan?
I can't tan. I sat in the sun a little bit and then got fried and my freckles got dark and then I had to sit out of the sun for the entire time.
And so let's be honest, you brought your Isle of Paradise drops to Mexico.
Yeah, I show up tan. I don't like to look like a noob.
But, okay, here's what threw me off, the shine.
Why
the shine? That's why I was like, oh, he's still like
listening. I think that's just my natural oils.
Oh, sorry. Maybe I'm not powder. Sorry, I'm not. That's not my. Sorry.
Good to know. I'll powder that later. What about that horribly oily skin?
It was very convincing.
But so this is why we do audio, you guys, and we podcast instead of shoot video when Travis would have to like dip himself in powder. Literally.
Just talcum powder all over you.
Miss Gwen Flamberg.
Oh, hey, guys.
And Mr. Brody Brown.
Hello.
All right, we have a really, really busy podcast today to talk about so much that went on, especially after this weekend's Golden Globes. Brody literally is fresh off of an airplane straight from LA, where he was there at the Globes on Sunday night. First off, what did you guys think? I mean, I wasn't impressed.
So here's the thing. I got to tell you, I'm going to say that I was impressed. Mm-hmm. I expected to totally hate the telecast. I was like, Andy Samberg and Sandra Oh, what and why? And I got to tell you, I thought that they were funny. I thought they were engaging. I thought it moved along really nicely. I was into it.
I loved how there were just so many different actors that came in at different bits, like, you know, coming in, like the whole Maya Rudolph and Amy Poehler of it all, and Harrison Ford cracking jokes for the first time in years. I did think Sandra and Andy were definitely a random pair, but you're right, they did bounce back, you know, back and forth between each other very creatively, and they did kind of have a easy,
vibe. It was fun. Yeah. I thought it was cool.
I liked how they made fun of the Lady Gaga, 99 people in the room, 100 people in the room, and one person believes in you, bed. And Lady Gaga shouted, it's true, from the audience. That was my favorite part of the whole telecast.
Oh, God. Brody, what was it like? Were people there actually liking the two of them?
Yeah, I think so. What you didn't really hear in the telecast was when Sandra had that serious part, I see you, I see you. Some people were, like, laughing because they thought she was joking, because the opening is usually very jokey, but obviously we're in a different time and she was addressing a very serious situation. So then people were like, oh, she actually is talking about diversity, inclusion. And so it was actually nice. It was different. And I liked them. The minute they started talking, I warmed up to them. They had funny, smart jokes.
Yeah, it was funny and smart.
And relevant. Yeah. And also made people feel safe. They were very clear before they went into it. They weren't going to take, like, pot shots or be mean or be nasty. But they did it with their own style. And I thought it was nice and also important.
Yeah. And, like, not too many political comments, which I was a fan of. I think it was a nice little refreshing, burst of fresh air from last year and all of the shows, of course, talking about politics. But, of course, they did bring it up when necessary. And even Glenn Close's speeches, I feel like the speeches this year were incredibly moving.
I'm still crying over Glenn Close's speech.
So incredible. Even Sandra Oh's speech when she won to her mother and her parents was amazing. What do we think were the biggest surprises of the night?
Regina King's speech.
Oh, the 50% women?
The 50% calling out for, like, every industry to do 50% women, because we heard about that a little bit last year where all the actresses were saying we're only going to sign into projects if at least 50% women, and she really hammered that in. And I was surprised that she, you know, challenged every other organization and business everywhere to do that, and I thought that was so cool. It was my favorite moment of the speeches.
It was also interesting, you know, when you see those people so up close and how, like, gorgeous they actually are. I love Amber Heard. I always
even
like
though her. She I looks was good afraid that birds were going to nest in her hair.
Oh, but I love that sort of like
you
old
know who else looked amazing who didn't get enough credit? Charlize Theron. I think she looks stunning.
To me, she was like best dressed.
People were like, I was walking down the carpet like right behind her, like trying to stay as far away from her as possible because you don't want to walk next to Charlize Theron. Someone's like, she's so gorgeous. And I was like bitterly like, well, she's like a professional model turned like serious. Mm-hmm. Actress, she looks like she's gonna kick everyone's ass on the carpet, but she's like lean, strong, smart, like so eloquent. You're like, what is anything wrong with you,
Brody? Give our listeners some background because I mean, we've both been in the Golden Globes room before. Nobody believes me when I tell them how small the room is. Like, you can barely walk through the tables, you can barely even walk around that ballroom. It looks so big on TV.
It's so tiny, and the crazy thing is there are cocktails at 2:30. There's a champagne toast in like between 2:30 and 3:00, and then dinner is served at 3:30. Now most people don't actually sit in their seats till 4:30, so that means that by the time everyone sits down and the telecast starts at 5:00, there's no food on the tables. There's maybe a bread basket, and then some cookies get brought to the celebrities' tables, but there's no actually food. You have to go into this little side room where there are these little sandwiches that the hotel is prepared, and people are ripping those apart in a cheese tray apart, and like Julia Roberts is in there like eating carrot sticks. It's literally like a free for all.
But the booze is a flowing, and that's why everybody is
flowing, and that's why you know you see like everyone drinking. I saw Melissa McCarthy getting a cocktail. I saw Michael Douglas ordering a cocktail at the bar. I was right behind him, being like, "What does he drink? Okay, there's a lemon in there.
What does he drink?
I was some like
vodka soda,
some
gin.
I don't think it was as basic as a vodka soda, but he was getting a little like vodka cocktail." And he had a security guard with him. And here's the thing about Golden Globes. It's like there's every celebrity in the world there, and they don't have security with them, but the big people do. So like Julia Roberts, I saw her get rushed into the ballroom last minute, and a security guard was towing her in. Everyone else has to like fend for themselves. Amber Heard has to get herself in there by herself. Rami Malek, Amy Poehler, they all get themselves in there on their own.
Go ahead. I was really surprised how Crazy Rich Asians wasn't one of the biggest winners of the night.
And I'm surprised that A Star Is Born didn't win more.
Yeah.
It won enough. Agree.
And Bradley Cooper is wearing white. It's like as if he sort of expected to win.
With a very fresh face, might I add. That was pulled and whatever.
Really, you think?
Oh, he looks completely different than the press tour. He looks like 10 years
Maybe
younger.
Maybe he's been able to get some sleep. He's not
Speaking of spray tans, so many people were commenting on Bradley Cooper's spray tan.
And Lady Gaga's. And Lady Gaga's. She was back in her AA Nothing I Can Say, like bright orange color, which I like her in. I like that color.
I was not digging the blue hair, though.
Oh, I loved it.
I thought it was sort of cool.
She was like, almost felt like she was the biggest star in the room, even though you have Julia Roberts there, like the people that most people get excited about.
And Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman is also friends with everyone, so you see her talking to Melissa McCarthy. You see her talking to Charlize Theron. She's like holding their hand. She's circulating with Keith Urban. Amber Heard was like, oh my God, when I saw them meet up at the ticket area. So Nicole Kidman is, yes, like the most A-listy, but in terms of buzz, people were freaking out over Gaga, and Christian was right next to her.
Because she's new.
Yeah, and she's also Lady Gaga. She's
transcends. Over the top. Yeah.
She's over the top. She's dramatic. At the end, I saw she was walking out of the ballroom. She's another person who had a big security guard blocking ever people from getting to them. And she was like carrying her award. And
her dress.
Christian was behind her carrying her entire gown, like bundled up in his arms. And she only stopped on the way out to talk to Patricia Clarkson, who like is every actress's favorite.
Emily
Blunt stopped and talked to Patricia Clarkson. Like everyone stops and like says hello to Patricia Clarkson.
I'm so happy she won. Her performance was insane in that show.
Yeah, and she told us before the show, she told one of our reporters that she hadn't eaten in 10 days. Yeah. She was like, literally, I haven't. And she said when someone almost tries to jinx, she's very superstitious. She said when they talk to her about winning, she makes them turn around 3 times and spit. That's like her. That's her lucky.
You're not Tom Brady, Patricia.
She's better than Tom Brady. She's not a fraud.
She's already so slim too. I saw her at the Spirit Awards a month ago, and she was very slender.
Yes, and she's also so nice and so warm.
She is,
and not insane like her character on Sharp Objects.
Such a huge fan of her.
Mm-hmm.
Tell everybody though, because I feel like when you're watching on the East Coast or even in the middle of the country, you don't realize how early the day starts.
Yeah, it's horrible.
These people are literally getting into hair and makeup at 9 a.m.
Yeah, and earlier. And I mean, you think about the time change; it's so different. But But people get into their limos at like noon. The traffic is so bad. In LA, it's like pretty bad, but it's usually like 15 to 30 minutes to get there from wherever you are in the city. But there's at least another hour because there's so much security check. You have to show your ID so many times. You have to show your ticket so many times. They have to, like, bomb sniffing dogs get into the trunk of your car. They put mirrors underneath the car to make sure that nothing is booby trapped. It's really, really, really bananas. But it's nice to see all those like couples so up close, like Daniel Craig and Rachel Weisz. I think it's because I just watched The Favorite last week.
Oh, I haven't watched it yet. Oh,
my God. It's so good. And Olivia Colman won. She's so cute.
Yes. She's amazing.
And she's going to be in The Crown. She's taking over Claire Foy's role the next season. Yes. And she killed it. When she called,
her speech was
when
amazing.
She called Rachel Weisz and Emma Stone her bitches. She's like, my bitches. And I saw her in the back of the auditorium holding her Golden Globe with one hand. And she was watching Glenn Close give her speech. And when Glenn Close was like, we need to let them know we could do it and we should do it. And Olivia Colman's like smiling and clapping against her midsection because she's holding her heavy globe with the other hand. I was like, oh my God, I love that.
See, that's
moment.
Iconic.
Yeah,
that's
it's like
iconic.
So cool to be there for that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so jealous. Speaking of couples, did you guys hear this new couple? Well, not couple, but this pair that apparently left Golden Globes parties together?
They're already engaged.
Pete Davidson.
Well, at his pace, they got me.
Pete Davidson and Kate Beckinsale.
I'm into it.
Are you? Come on.
Well, you know, I think here's what I'm going to say. I think that Pete will likely have learned from his past mistakes, and he is not going to jump into being super crazy serious with someone. So why shouldn't he, like, have a swinging good time?
With a smoke show.
Smoking hot.
One of the hottest people
older
ever.
Older lady.
She's not even older. She looks like she's 20.
No, but I think she's
44.
Like, she's 45.
She looks
she's
so
She's 45,
young.
And he's what, 27?
She's 25. He's 25.
Yeah, I'm into it. I like this. Pete Davidson knows what's up.
She's hotter than every other 25-year-old at that place. She's so good looking.
Agreed. And listen, we know that she loves those older,
younger.
Young, mm-hmm. Yes, sorry.
Poor Jen, she's got the flu,
guys,
y'all.
I'm on Mucinex. No, we know that she loves those younger men. I mean, her last ex, Matt Rife, I don't even think he was 25
years was old. He was 23.
Yeah, he's 23. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, she's hot. She's hotter than ever. Mm-hmm. And Pete Davidson, I mean, why not? Like, this is literally one of the most famous men in Hollywood right now who can get any pick of who he wants. And he is the one that's just, like, flirting with Kate Beckinsale at all these after parties.
I like it.
I say go for it.
But her daughter is 19.
Yeah.
She's a daughter who's 19.
She's 20, I think, now.
He's 26?
25.
I mean, that's a little strange.
Mm. Yeah, but I don't think...
Have you ever had a parent... Well, anyone who's had a single parent date someone who's close to her age or younger than you?
No.
I have, and it's super awkward.
It seems to work well for the Fosters and Catherine McPhee.
It does. But that's bizarre. I mean, their dad is David Foster, so you could overlook anything.
And he's dated a lot of 23-year-olds.
Yeah, you're like, whatever. At least she's, like, cute. Kind of sane.
I bet that it's just not going to be, like, super serious. And they're just having fun. And I like that.
We'll see if it continues.
We'll see
I'm
if
all
it continues.
For it. Just
Me
have
too.
Fun.
She's so what? And she's so smart. She has a PhD from Oxford or a master's from Oxford in English Lit.
Is that true?
Yeah.
It's got to be an honorary
degree. Her
with Cate Blanchett.
No.
Brody,
no.
Pete needs a good... No, I can't pull up. Pete needs a good rebound. Like, he needs a
good... Kate Beckinsale
like,
will be a good rebound.
Oh, yeah.
Just
because
it's
total opposite of Ariana Grande.
Bam.
Right? It's plus 20 years.
Yeah.
This, like,
she
super
went
chic...
She to Oxford, I swear.
Super chic.
Can you look this up, please?
Hot
wait, no, wait,
mom.
Wait. But we're not moving on from Golden Globes yet, are we? Because we have to talk about Chrissy Metz and Alison Brie.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Let's do it.
So that was so strange because she was doing an interview with Extra and everyone thought after... everyone reported. All these outlets said that she called Alison Brie
so were
a
you
bitch
there?
On a hot mic.
So were you, you were obviously there, so you weren't
able
to
watch the... Yeah, I was
there
because I hunted down Chrissy Metz at the Golden Globes and talked to her.
So I watched that video live. It sounded like, I don't think she didn't say, oh, she's a bitch. It's like, oh, she's my...
She said babe. I think she clarified and said babe.
Yeah, she's my babe. It did not sound like she said bitch. I will say that first and foremost. Like, she literally was like, oh, she's such a babe. But she said
so
babe
she didn't
so
even
quickly.
Say
she didn't say bitch. It was like, she's such a babe.
That makes sense because everyone in Hollywood likes Alison Brie.
Yeah.
Like, everyone thinks she's charming and funny.
And honestly, I mean, me and Chrissy Metz are not BFFs. We've met only a couple times. I can't see her actually saying that or being that stupid to say that word on a high
comment. Yeah, and you and Chrissy may not be BFFs, but Chrissy and I are BFFs because I ran up to her and her boyfriend, Hal Rosenfeld, who she debuted on the red carpet. That was their first red carpet together.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, together, yeah.
I didn't realize that.
And I was like, you know, can you, do you want to clarify what you said? This is right after the show when they came out of the ballroom and I grabbed them. I was like, hi, Chrissy. Quick question.
Everyone thinks you called her a bachelor.
And she said, it's unfortunate people want to say stuff that they don't know is true or not. Alice and Ara obviously, and I obviously are friends. And I was like, oh, you're friends? And she said, yes. And she knows that I would never say something like that. First of all, about anyone, especially about somebody I really revere. We've already cleared it up. We've already texted about it. It's just a claim, a shame that people want clickbait. And it's unfortunate that she's a nominee they're distracting from. And she's like, I know the truth. And she said, if you actually listen to the video, I didn't say anything. It's actually not me speaking about that. So it's unfortunate. So did someone, who called Alison Brie a bitch?
Oh, I think that it was, I bet it's Chrissy's publicist.
Oh, no.
Who's her publicist?
No. I don't think it's her. I don't think it's her. I think it had to be, maybe it was someone at Extra. Who was like, bitch.
I bet it was a producer at Extra.
Who was like, but, and they're
no,
like, oh,
whoever, yeah. Whoever said that had a mic on them. A producer yes. wouldn't have a mic on
someone
them.
Someone said it, but it was not Chrissy, and she was like being polite, but annoyed.
Maybe it was Juliana Rancic.
She's not even an accent. Maybe it was Gaga.
Don't pull her. It was definitely yeah, Bradley Cooper, God. And I read a show.
Didn't Gaga call Katy Perry a bitch in the text with
she did.
Kesha?
Yes. She did. The non-redacted part. They left that part open.
They were like, oh, no, we'll leave that for the record.
Also, could you imagine being poor Chrissy Metz? Like, you're literally coming out with your boyfriend for the first time. You're sitting at the Golden Globes.
And
like,
sweaty
for the
Brody Brown runs up to you and is like, hey, Chrissy, 2 seconds. Can I talk to you?
Well, that too. But this is like the third time she's been to the Golden Globes in her life?
Yeah.
And then, like, you get all these text messages from all your family, friends, publicists, all these crazy people being like, why'd you call her a bitch? Like, your night is totally ruined.
Yeah.
She's texting Alison Brie, who's two tables away, being like, sorry, girl, I didn't call you a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, the entire country is you guys are looking at me like my
voice
sounds like.
No,
I was far more concerned about the color of Travis's skin than I am about your voice.
And I was thinking,
no, but it's like, you know, like your entire night, like you're literally, it's ruined and you're completely taken over by this and like the show's over.
And all your mentions on Twitter must be like, why did you call us and bring a bitch? And everyone now must be thinking, oh, Chrissy's just trying to cover it up. But talking to her, I really don't think she called her a bitch. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't add up. And I've dealt with a lot of liars in my life, just speaking from personal experience. And looking at her, she was, like, not lying.
Okay.
Like, detective work.
Yeah. Yeah.
She had Dr. Brody Brown.
Her tells were
the
not
quiver
there.
Of her lip and her eye contact, forensic she was not lying. She did not call us and be a bitch.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad that we got to put that to rest.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
All right. Obviously, another bigger topic that everybody is talking about this week is Kevin Hart. So Kevin Hart was asked to host the Oscars last month. He had a back out 2 days later after all these tweets from 9 years earlier came up. And Ellen DeGeneres had Kevin Hart as a guest on her show last week. And she gave him the opportunity to clear up all the rumors and apologize. And Ellen, who is getting a ton of backlash now and a lot of criticism for even letting Kevin on his show, Ellen accepted Kevin's apology and said, you know, she actually called the Academy, asked the Academy if Kevin could come on and host because she thinks he'd be perfect to host. So now we're pretty much just sitting here waiting if Kevin Hart will accept the Academy's invitation to come back and host. So what do you guys think? First off, should he come back to host the Oscars? If you were Kevin, would you? I mean, he said on Ellen.
The only
like,
way that I think Kevin Hart should host the Oscars is if it's with Dwayne The Rock Johnson and they did it together.
I do love them as a couple.
No, no. That only if they kiss open mouth for the opening segment to show that they're not gay. It's so annoying. I'm so annoyed with him and I'm so annoyed with Ellen. He had so many opportunities to apologize. He didn't. Then he had to have this whole situation happen. Now he's apologizing.
On the number one daytime show.
Honestly, I'm more disappointed in Ellen because I don't understand why she got involved there. What network is Ellen's show on?
NBC.
Hmm. No, it's NBC. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would know.
I don't know. I just thought that it was like very, why did she throw her hat in the ring like that?
Annoying.
It's like, why do you got to get involved?
Also, sorry, you're a traitor to the LGBTQ community. Yeah. When she said, oh, don't let the trolls win, Ellen, people who are in pain saying that they feel that he is perpetuating this culture of attacking gay people and saying bad things about gay people and not apologizing for it, those are the people who are complaining. They're not trolls. Those are your LGBTQ like sisters and brothers who are saying this is unacceptable. He should be held responsible. So I don't get that. I was like, wake up, get online, Ellen. Get out of your little bubble and look at the internet.
Well, that's what a lot of people are saying, is that Ellen DeGeneres kind of lost her sense of reality and she really hasn't been you know, that close to the LGBTQ community in recent years. She, of course, yeah, came out. And it was this whole big, she was the poster child for that community. And she kind of has like turned, not her turn her back, but just really hasn't been involved recently in the community.
She supports gorillas a lot more.
So the fact that he chose Ellen to sit down and talk to her for the first time, a lot of people are like, wait a second, Ellen, you don't even have a sense of reality of what it's like to be somebody struggling with this in their personal life.
Sure. And it makes him look like he's got an ally in a lesbian. And like in an LGBTQ person.
And a former Oscar show
sure,
host.
There's a cloud of that. And so, but she's giving him a platform and it was ridiculous.
I don't think it's okay.
No.
His apology tour is embarrassing. It was embarrassing. He just like didn't want to say it. And that then, just makes me feel so bad.
Yeah. And like, oh, now you're finally saying it. Now you got why it's important. He's like, well, people need to accept this change. And I'm like, this is just like too little too late.
Guys, you know, the Academy did invite him back. Now it's up to him if he actually wants to do it. He has said, you know, I don't want to ruin a night for somebody that's worked for years, you know, decades to get to this opportunity and have that night be all about me. But it seems like he could come back and host the show. Will you guys watch?
Yes, and I hope Lady Gaga wins and then calls him out immediately during her speech.
Yeah, it's just
such everybody.
An unfortunate situation. And Don Lemon had such a good segment about it. Did you guys watch that?
Oh, yeah. It was
where
fantastic.
He was talking about like Kevin Hart as an opportunity to be an ally and talk about this culture and the way that homophobia in the black community and how that's perpetuated and allowed. And I thought it was so potent.
Mm-hmm.
But if they let Kevin Hart back, people will be so excited. People will be excited.
He's
who
a huge
were his
fan
supporters.
Base.
He does have a huge fan base. And I do think, listen, at least he's apologized now, but it would be really unfortunate. And I hope in his segment, in his monologue, he would do something with a lot of LGBTQ people.
Oh, he absolutely would have to.
He would have to.
He would have to.
Like, exclusively to show that he's actually understood the damage he's done by perpetuating that sort of language.
It's also so easy to say I'm sorry and like we're back, you know? It's so easy.
It's
and
really
he just
easy.
Really drug his heels. And it's like, why are you dragging your heels about apologizing for like using hate speech on Twitter?
Yeah, and he was like, oh, I've apologized before. No, he didn't apologize before.
No.
That was the other insane thing too. So it's unfortunate and I'm
did that fake apology.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry people are mad at me.
Yeah. Oh
the worst type of
apology. I feel
apology.
Triggered by even hearing that.
Well, he's not going to do it. I mean, they don't have a host. Who do you think should host the Oscars?
Shia LaBeouf.
What?
Yep, Shia.
Shia LaBeouf,
I'm
no.
I'm kidding.
Nah.
Bella Thorne.
Oh,
ooh,
come on.
They'd
Let's
be great co-hosts.
Oh, you know what Sarah Silverman told us on a carpet over the weekend? She thought Triumph, the insult dog, should do it because he can say anything. But no, obviously not that.
Triumph and Bella Thorne, I think, would be really nice.
Oh, my God.
Pete Davidson.
Oh, okay. No, but actually, let's think seriously.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I'm just going
to
throw out something that's pretty lame. No, it doesn't have to be a comedian, but I think comedians always make the best monologue. I love Jimmy Kimmel. I think Jimmy Kimmel had such a huge year, especially in all the support he's given with, you know, the healthcare and children. I think he's had such a momentous year in his career. I think he'd be perfect for it.
What about Samantha Bee and Trevor Noah?
Oh, my God. Cute. Ugh. I'm all for Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel. I think Samantha Bee is a little polarizing.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel's polarizing, but Samantha Bee is like a little more polarizing.
Okay, but if you did Samantha Bee and Trevor Noah, I think it would be a little bit tokenism. You're like, look, a woman and a black man. Like, but you'd just be like playing into that. But at least it would be different. Jimmy Kimmel.
I do really like Trevor Noah. Sexy.
He's very
sexy. So sexy.
And he just bought this beautiful home, like a $20 million mansion.
Oh, really?
Made him a lot hotter.
Trevor Noah?
$20 million?
Yeah.
He's cute.
$20 million
smart.
In the hills. Didn't know he had it like that.
Are there any shirtless pics we can look at? All
right, so then we definitely need someone hotter.
Trevor Noah would be great.
If he's posting.
Trevor Noah would be great.
What about Sarah Silverman? I think Sarah Silverman and Jimmy Kimmel would be hilarious.
Okay,
pick.
If you said that Samantha Bee's too polarizing, I think Sarah Silverman's too polarizing.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Fair point.
But she would be good.
Yeah. She'd be great.
What if they like switched up her look and gave her a really tiny little bob or something? You'd be like, whoa, and made her dance. Then,
right.
Then I'd go to be into it.
Oh, gosh. All right, we're going to go get
just
to
just call
some,
Neil Patrick Harris. Who cares?
Right?
No.
Some bigger news. All right, Lindsay Lohan, she is everywhere. She's back.
All right, I find it disturbing.
She has a new show on MTV.
I do.
Oh, Jesus. Lohan Beach House, where she is showcasing her new, one of her newer beach houses in Mykonos.
Her only this, beach house.
No. Oh, she has a bunch, Travis.
Really?
Are they? She's one in Dubai.
Quote unquote hers?
She lends her face and her name. That's all that matters. Okay. Anyway, so it's pretty much this Vanderpump style rules MTV show where they focus on her club and the staff. Of course, Lindsay comes in and out of this, but it's pretty much all about the staff. But Lindsay's like everywhere and she just won't go away.
And what? She cray.
She's like,
why does it
I
disturb
thought
you?
Because she's crazy. And I just think she's like, she's somebody who should not be encouraged to want to be the center of attention because she's not well.
But she even when well, she wasn't in the spotlight, well. She was still inviting Beyonce to her birthday. So she still was making it all about her. At least the cameras are looking now.
I mean, listen, it's a guilty pleasure, but I prefer to just watch 90 Day Fiancé to feel better about myself.
Oh, come on. You know you're going to watch Lindsay Lohan's Beach House, though.
I mean, of course I am.
Of course I watched the first episode, and I'm not going to lie, I kind of liked it.
We asked her at the premiere this week what she felt about the haters, because, you know, there is a whole sea of haters out there.
Of course.
And she said, well, I wish I could do a Lindsay voice and accent.
Maybe Jen should do it.
I never really, wait, I can't do her voice. I can do her. She said, I never really cared about who's rooting against me. That's not true. I know I'm a strong person.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Did you also see she did an interview with Variety?
Yeah.
Did you read the whole thing?
Oh,
where she didn't
sure
care
did.
About the her haters on that. She, like, said, like, a similar thing. Like, I don't care if people are rooting against
yeah,
me.
Yeah, and people, and they asked her why so many of her former co-stars declined to comment or, like, talk about working with her.
Yeah, because from what we know, and I mean, and this is not, like, you know, anything breaking news here, but so many people refuse to work with her because she's had such a bad track history. I mean, she literally has filmed so many different movies where she hasn't even showed up to work. She treated
Georgia
her co-stars. Yeah, Georgia Rule. Remember, remember Liz and Dick? Like, she didn't show up for days on
Liz
set. So, I don't know. I think it's really hard for her to shake off that image where so many people have known her as this party girl, and now she's trying to take... trying to get people to take her seriously, but you don't come out with your debut comeback as like hosting a club and being on MTV and like being literally highlighted as this party girl.
She said that she thought the show would make people take her seriously. And my favorite part at the end of the interview, they said, do you consider yourself a feminist? And she said, I'm just Lindsay Lohan, whatever that is. What the actual...
Right.
Because she doesn't know what the word feminist means.
Yes, she does. And she's one of those people who's like, that's a dirty word. Remember when she was like, Georgina, you need to stand up and support your husband. I was like,
in
you're
her
the
British accent, because Georgina's
like,
British.
Like, the only celebrity defending Harvey Weinstein. I'm like, what? She needs to get a clue. Mm-hmm. She needs some actual friends.
She's not a feminist. She's a Lohanologist.
I'm Lindsay Lohan, whatever that is.
And she left the after party last night in New York early.
To go... where? That's my real question. You know, she was not going to bed.
She's
going to go
real.
Do a face mask and just
to go.
It's
face mask code. Was that like to like punch some refugee woman and their kids in the street? Like what is the face mask?
Wait, she's
going
to like steal some babies.
I just love exact. Like I don't know who's advising her of this. But again, like I don't think she has any true real friends around her. This
Oprah.
Is a woman who has.
She told us she talked to Oprah before Christmas.
Oh my God.
She didn't say Christmas of 2012, but she said before Christmas.
Was that train wreck of a mother with her, Dina Lohan? Was she with her at the party
last
night? Where is Dina?
That's weird.
She said
Dina never skips an after.
No, I was shocked. Maybe she's gonna actually be on Celebrity Big Brother. Maybe she's at the gym training so she can like just spend the whole season in
that
her
bikini.
That
wouldn't shock me. Do you see some of those names though that are rumored to be on that list? We have Aubrey O'Day, Dina Lohan, Sean Spicer, and or Anthony Scaramucci.
It's going
to
be That's very
My friends saw Scaramucci at the HBO party. Did you go to the HBO party? And they were very confused as to why he was there.
He really wants to be famous. I don't understand.
Yeah, he's famous.
He and Sean are both like, they want so much attention and I don't want to give it to them. It's weird. I feel like if it's going to be all those people, they want some political dialogue.
Of course.
And I'm just like very over that in all the
Aubrey's
going to
bring it.
Aubrey is going to bring it. But they're going to – can she do it and talk about Donald Trump Jr.? Is she allowed to?
Probably not.
She's never talked about it on the record.
I mean, I don't think she's going to talk about it with Celebrity Big Brother. I think she will definitely talk about an interview after that, but I don't think she's going to divulge everything on Big Brother.
But she's never said a word about that relationship.
No.
So
no. Which
I'm
clearly
sure
means if she signed something to shut her up.
Or, I mean, probably, but could they just pay her a ton of money and she could break it? What are they going to do, sue her? It would be a bigger story if they sue her.
Absolutely.
All she does is post Fashion Nova ads.
But they're so good.
And I love how photoshopped they are.
What? Wait, what? Wait, Aubrey O'Day's pictures are
they are lightly tweaked, Brody. I'm sorry to burst the fantasy.
It's like a cartoon. Honestly, someone drew her as Jessica Rabbit.
She uses the same sunless, tanless drops that Travis uses. But
we are very similarly colored to them.
She's very pretty. But she's gorgeous. I think she's really a very pretty girl.
But do we know what she looks like?
Yes, but not that face-tuned Aubrey O'Day of Instagram.
Yeah. Speaking of face-tune, okay, so Kendall Jenner comes out last week on social media saying—
Wait, she came out?
Comes out on social media saying, you know, I had this big revelation on Sunday night. This is something that I've been suffering with since I was 14 years old, and I can't wait to actually finally—
Me too.
Share all the truth about it and open up. And, of course, Kris Jenner on Saturday goes to her Instagram saying, Kendall, I'm so proud of you, of my baby girl, finally getting the guts to come out and publicly and talk about this issue.
Right.
So, of course, everybody was like, what happened to her? Did she get sexually assaulted when she was 14? Then a lot of people thought, all right, well, maybe she's actually finally talking about her anxiety. And this is something that she's spoken about on the show in the past. Then she announces on Sunday night on the show that she is the new face of Proactiv to help fight acne that she's been suffering with since she was 14 years old, and that she's been so self-conscious and insecure of her pimples and her acne. And this was her big revelation. And of course, social media and everybody freaked out because they thought there was going to be a bigger cause and a bigger, you know, topic
here. Real problem.
A real problem, exactly. Thank you.
Yeah. It was very strange. And people were also online speculating that she was, like, coming out something regarding to her sexuality. But remember last year she told Vogue that she was like, I'm not gay. Like, people keep asking why I'm not gay.
And she has a boyfriend, Ben Simmons. She has a boyfriend,
So that's weird. But I definitely thought it would be something a little bit juicier than something that almost everyone has struggled with at some point in their life.
And also, by the way, everybody knows that she struggled with acne. Mm-hmm. She's been photographed. There have been stories about it. Like, you know, listen, Proactiv is an incredible brand. I think that it stands for something really fantastic. Mm-hmm. And Kendall's great. But, like, come on. You know, it's like, it's cool for you to be on contract with Proactiv, but let's not make a huge deal about it.
I was going to say, she definitely should have started or ended that tweet in Instagram with hashtag ad, because to me, it screamed like a paid sponsorship.
Yes. Well, it was.
She wasn't paid a dollar. No, she just uses that.
She actually uses Proactiv? Is that what you're telling me?
Wait.
Well, they all do use Proactiv, the Proactiv spokespeople, but they're paid a pretty penny.
Yeah. And what's a pretty penny?
I don't know. It's a multi-million dollar deal. I mean, it's a big deal. Like, you know, it's been like A-listers who have been the Proactiv spokespeople. It's Jessica Simpson and Justin Bieber and
Bella Thorne.
Yeah. Was Bella Thorne also? Oh, you love Bella Thorne.
Because she had really bad acne. I liked her as a Proactiv spokesperson because she had really bad acne that you could see. And I believed her when she was talking to me. Kendall Jenner, I don't believe as much.
No, but she's had like some major acne, but it's just sort of like— I don't think that even people who are struggling with acne, I don't think that we should make people feel like it's such a huge deal that you've overcome coming to terms with it, you know? Like, it's just a little bit much. Whatever. She's no longer on contract with Estee Lauder. They had to find a new contract for her.
Oh, is that what that means?
Karlie Kloss took her place on Estee Lauder.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yep. But yeah, I mean, it was a very momager move when Kris is also like drumming up the interest.
Well, because like, Kris is getting it
10%, of course.
Yeah. It's great, but I do miss Jessica Simpson doing Proactiv commercials.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah.
I also love Kris Jenner's new face. I think it looks really nice.
I also don't find Kendall
Dr. Diamond, thank
really
you.
Relatable.
I don't either. And to Gwen's point before, like she can't, you know, she kind of, you know, drummed up so much and made so much anticipation of what this is going to be. And she pretty much was saying, yeah, for the past 9 years of my life, I've been struggling for acne and I just didn't feel beautiful. Like, what kind of message is that sending to your fans?
That's right.
And all young girls around the world who have acne, I get pimples all the time. Like, you know, yeah, you might not feel beautiful, but like, to so many of these little girls are looking up to this family, especially Kendall, like, don't teach them that they can't be beautiful because they have a few pimples.
Right.
It's like the Pepsi ad all over again.
Oh. I know she can't catch a break
when she stops racial
tension. But that's part of being them, you know? It's like if you're going to live your whole life so out there, it's like there's going to be backlash and you're just going to have to deal with it.
I wish I felt sorrier for her, but I didn't.
Right. She stopped racial tensions in this country with a can of Pepsi. We have had no other issues since she cracked that can of Pepsi with people of a different race.
But I know everyone's like problems. It's an individual thing, and so then it becomes big, and you like can't see the privilege around you. But you're like still Kendall Jenner at the end of the day, and you're getting paid to talk about your struggle. Although she was trolled unfairly last year at the Golden Globes when she showed up for her skin, and people were really mean about it. Mm-hmm. So it was a nice anniversary. Like,
new lips.
F you to the haters, being like, now I'm catching a check and talking about the show, and you're all paying attention.
And you're all going to buy Proactive, like me, probably like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Their face mask works great. I love that.
It does?
Oh, their face mask from Proactive is really good. It's like the drying one. I love that face mask.
But only if you have really like oily or problematic skin. Well,
mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, I wasn't saying it like
Mr.
a read.
Again, about
only
my oily
a
skin.
Read when Gwen put the thumb into it.
Only if you have really oily skin. Like someone over here.
On that note, that is all for this week's Hot Hollywood episode from Us Weekly. Catch us next week. We're going to be probably ripping on more of your favorite celebrities.
Or
as we do every single week. Or Travis's skin.
Or Jen's illnesses.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.